That might go over not so good.
Much, much nicer air conditioning, all the radios, every option you got you can think of. Just throw the beacon on the roof and off I go.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And I get to charge them when I use my own vehicle. So, Johnny, you're all trained up. You got your certificate. You can play with all the mighty machines.
Yeah, I'm already kind of going through a little bit of withdrawal there. Like, it's like, yeah, you get kind of smooth after you've been doing it day in and day out. And, you know, there's some good instructors there. It was more fun than anything. It was a lot of fun. I got a cool air certificate. And then, of course, you got we had all the little side tickets you got throughout the course, first aid, then you got ground disturbance and S2S and all these things that the Mayans require you to take before you can go work with them. And, you know, there's this one girl, she got hired like 2 weeks into the course as a rock truck driver, making like $56 an hour.
Oh, good for her. Hopefully it wasn't a quota situation. Hopefully she got it on skill.
Well, she definitely had the skill, and it was just funny. Like, they came, a lot of companies are now coming to these schools and, like, kind of, like, put a little pitch out there. And, yeah, that's common. You know, they'll see somebody and they're keen, and then they send their, yeah, it was great. And I was just like, wow, man, that was crazy fast.
Well, for a company, it's a good central location to, you know, do a little scouting and grab you before you get out there and get all jaded and full of bad habits.
Yeah. I could see that for sure. It's a good idea to go to the schools. You know, it's smart, you know. You can ask the instructors, like, hey, who are your top candidates or whatever. But I said right away to every, like, all the instructors knew that I wasn't looking for a mining job. I wanted to do this with Team Rubicon. And they kind of gear your training towards what you want to do. They used to have, like, forestry equipment and stuff, like attachments. But apparently forestry's dead out here.
Yeah. Yeah, forestry's on a downward cycle right now. The cycle's a little longer than the solar cycle. Not enough fiber. Pine beetles taken out all the good fiber there was, and a lot of the Americans down in the southeast, their forests are on an upward cycle, so there's more logging going on down there than up here. I think it was, which company was it? They just announced their head office is moving down to Georgia. Domtar or something like that.
Oh, wow. So it's true then, eh? Like, that's, yeah, you can see there was effects at the school because they didn't use any of those attachments. And yeah, it was interesting. There was a whole section in the manual that she pretty much skipped over because, yeah, there's no point in reading this. I'm like, oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, I watched a program on it the other day, and I didn't realize it was as cyclical as it is, and we got the double whammy because we got the pine beetle, and it was happening perfect. You couldn't have done more damage. You know, it was perfectly aligned with the cycle. So we kind of missed out on one. And funny enough, the other side of the continent, they're on the opposite cycle. And then, of course, you got the Trump and the tariffs and everything on top of it, and the endless battle over softwood tariffs, which has been going on for as long as I can remember. So, yeah, our industry here is taking a beating. It's not a growth industry right now.
Well,
so when do you get into the whirly bird?
September, I'll start ground school, and then after that, I'll chip away at it. And, Whiskey Fox said, it's pricey, but I'm not looking at commercial. I'm just looking to do it, to say I did it, and, you know, quite frankly, to give me something to do, because, you know, this retirement stuff is driving me nuts. I need a purpose, and, I do everything. I'm like, I do everything, but it's like, there's no sense and purpose, right? Like, so, I don't know. That's the plan.
Oh, I get it. I mean, that's why I'm out of the airport. You know, I retired in 2020, and here it is 2026, and I'm still there.
I see you there.
Yeah, helicopters, wow. Just about the most expensive hobby there is. A buddy of mine's got a couple of them, and mind you, he's got more money than brains. He flies his 206 around like I drive my F-150 around.
To have that kind of money, eh? Yeah, it is expensive. And the maintenance, it is. And, you see all these videos and, these fast feed stuff like any of the social media, they show you, like, some 40-year-old rich dude who owns a Blackhawk and he's, like, carving up canyons and it's all got a hyper paint job on it. Yeah, and you're like, yeah, okay, that's crazy.
When I was drilling in Alberta, this is in the early 80s, I got some stick time on a 205 and a 212. Basically the same. 205 is a single engine, what we commonly know as a Huey. And the 212 is a little more modern version, two-engine transmission, but essentially the same body, essentially the same bird. But there was another one they had, and I want to say it was a 214. That doesn't sound right. But basically it was a 205, but it had blades that were about 3 feet thick. And the difference in the power between the 205 and I think the 214, I gotta look that up, was the 205 could lift its the on-site fuel tank empty, and the 214 could lift the fuel tank full.
Wow, that's a big difference. That's a huge difference. Holy cow. Me, I would like the MD500E, or E is it? Angry Egg. If I won the millions, that would be my bird.
I'm just Googling right now. So it was the 214. That was a monster. You did not want to be standing underneath it when you hook, when you go hook up the 100, 150 foot long line, you're going to get out of there before he throttled up and lifted whatever you hooked him to. Because if you're straight underneath him, it just knocked you down.
Oh, for sure. That wash would be brutal. Lifting that kind of weight. Oh my God. Yeah, that's impressive. That's impressive stuff.
Yeah, I was in a 212 that crashed into just basically poplars and stuff like that. The transmission blew up, so he auto-rotated down. That was a very high degree of pucker moment, and we went into the trees. Nobody got hurt. We got banged up a little bit, but nobody got hurt. But they sent in the 214 to lift it out.
Dude, that was a lot to unpack. You survived a crash. That's crazy. Yeah, there's not many people that can say they survived a helicopter crash. Thankfully, it went into the trees.
Oh, yeah, I'm convinced that's why nobody got hurt. Because it was just like landing in a... Well, pillows that were turning into toothpicks at a very high rate of speed.
Yeah, you're lucky, man. Oh, my God. That's enough to say, okay, that's it for this. I've done this. Next.
Well, actually, the other thing I did, which in hindsight was pretty stupid, too, was we were rappelling out of the 212 to clear an LZ. There was nowhere big enough to land the bird, so me and my partner decided to rappel out of it. So, you know, you got the chainsaws on the rope off your hip, throw those out the window, and one out one side, one out the other side, do the countdown, and go. But you know how hard it is to do depth perception when you're coming down towards snow?
Oh, yes, I do, actually. Yeah, that is hard. And then throw in the wash?
Well, and you're also racing your buddy down.
You are going down with a chainsaw. You could,
Yep, going down with a chainsaw, racing your buddy down. I hit the snow kind of hard. That was okay, but I hit the snow kind of hard. The two of us just knocked trees down like crazy, and after the bird did a loop around the mountain, he came back and had a nice spot to land.
You can call yourself a pathfinder then, sir.
Yeah, and that was all civvy stuff. Geoseismic exploration, playing with high explosives and helicopters.
Probably paid a little better than the military.
Actually, it paid quite well. It was long hours. I mean, it was long prospects, but when in between prospects, man, you hit a city, you got more money than your brains, especially when you're in your early 20s. But yeah, it paid well. Crazy money. Until the price of oil crashed.
Roger that. Okay, I gotta go get something to eat. I will be monitoring in the background, and I'll chat later. Victor Akazavin, uniform Julie Mike, clear on your final.
All right, Johnny. Well, it's good to hear your voice again. I'm glad your training went well and you got your certificate, so you can go do your volunteering. That's very cool. That is a high level of coolness. Go get something to eat. 73.
73, Mark.
VA7XM. Must identify.
Oh boy. Victor Echo 7, Tango Golf.
Tango Golf. Victor Alpha 7X remake. James, good evening.
Oh, good evening, Mark. Just listening to your escapades? Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Too much fun. And I probably don't operate like that anymore because of rules.
No, I don't suspect so. Yeah. So, how's everything else?
Ah, I think it's all okay. You know, it was, wow, smoky today. Burning red sun on sunset. That was kind of cool to look at, and then it turned pink. But, yeah. Do a little office duty these days.
Oh, yeah. It was smoky out there. Heavy smoke over here. Not much in the way of any clouds. All smoke. Yeah, kind of smelled a little bit towards the mountain.
Changing the subject. How's that antenna of yours coming along?
I ran into a few issues, but I'm working them out. I would be at it again tomorrow. I'll get a little bit of time.
So have you determined whether or not your coax is too heavy?
Oh, I've already swapped it out. Yeah, I've swapped it out. It was too heavy. I might use it on the bottom. the section that collects the fin I have won't make it into the radio room, so I'd have to use some more, either thin, put some more connectors in, with the, whatever you call it, the static thingy in the center, or just run it into the house.
Well, if you've got to add coax, you got to add coax. Just cut the RG8X back to where it's not supporting weight anymore and do it from there.
Yep.